Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I just wanted to chime in and say that I think you have some great views on everything. And I think you have some great opinions.
Oh, well, thanks.
Including what you're talking about right now. I think you are highly underrated. I think that you're doing a great job.
I agree, Karen. Believe me.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSafety.com.
RadioSafety.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you're not a regular to this type of radio, here's a word of caution. You may find it explicit. You decide if Tampa Bay Radio is blaring out airwaves or shockwaves.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I was fast asleep. It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome back to the program. Anna Hum will be joining me in just a second. Don't freak out! 813-693-2124, HMBRadio.com is how you get a hold of us. Sign up for the email list over there on the website. Follow the social media accounts. Me, I'm home underscore maid underscore man. Don't worry. Don't follow Anna. She doesn't want it. And Radio St. Pete. Radio STPETE everywhere. And Facebook, HMB Radio. Make sure you follow the YouTube page if you'd like to join us live on a live stream on Wednesday evenings. Hit the bell. Subscribe to it. And you'll get notified when Anna and I are live. You can join in on the show. Comment. Sometimes I even put people in the stream. It's always a good time, so I encourage you to do that. YouTube, and just search HMB Radio. Hotel Mike Bravo Radio, all one word. If you listen on podcast, don't know how to get there, HMV? Like Victor? Nope. I would try to clarify, but if you have a head injury, you can head over to willspodcast.com, and it'll get you there. You can listen on your desktop computer. If that's how you need to do it. Welcome to the program. Tough one. You know, sometimes we record these things before major events happen. And the major event that we kind of missed was the Lightning going down in Game 6. They did not defeat the dreaded Canada adjacent, let's just say, Colorado Avalanche. Of course, they were formerly the Quebec Norden Deeks. Quebec, easily the most terroristic of all of Canada. I mean, that whole place is just a mess. But Quebec has to be specifically the most place, you know, with terrorists. And there's real-life terrorists there. Obviously, I'm being facetious. Some people really think I'm serious with that. Only their government is, not the people. The people are fine. I actually have a story about that I'm going to tell. I had a friend get mad at me about that. It was very strange. It may have been alcohol involved. But yes, the dreaded Quebec Nordiques, now known as the Colorado Avalanche, based in Denver, which is a satellite state, if you will, for the we know what you're doing up there in Quebec. Send the Trojan horse, and now you get your Stanley Cup back in Canada, kind of. It's your team now based in Denver, but we all know. So the Lightning were unable to take down those dreaded Nordiques, and that's okay. You know, it's tough. Everybody in Tampa wanted the third Stanley Cup, and I can't blame them. I did too. I wanted the T-shirt with the three Stanley Cups on it, three in a row. It's so nice, you know. Three is a big number in sports. Strike three, you're out. And that would have just made them a destiny, or not a destiny. I always get those two words mixed up. A dynasty team that they are, and they very well could come back next year and win another one. But it's not the three in a row, you know. It's not that it doesn't count, but it. You know, kind of. It just doesn't go as well. You know, you want the three in a row. Of course, we'll take 3 and 4 years. Obviously, we'll be ecstatic. And the Lightning are the best sports team that we have in the area. So, I mean, you're talking 8 years of playoffs and going deep into the playoffs. And, you know, just we got to be thrilled with how good this team is going. If you care about Tampa sports, that is. If you don't care about Tampa sports, then you don't care. And screw you. No, I'm just kidding. I get it if you don't care. I do want to play a little bit if you don't care. You might want to skip ahead a little bit in this podcast. Don't turn it off, okay? I'll know. But here is John Cooper talking about the season that almost was with the three-peat.
We're not done. Like, the last 8 years, we've been to 6 conference finals. And that's what, you know what today is? Today is a crushing loss, and we played this whole season to get to this goal, and we finished 2 days short of winning our, like, being a part of history. But this group is part of history, and we should take a step back and sit here in a league that, as I said, is stacked against the cards. They want parity to go to win 11 straight playoff series. And whatever it is, like third all time, like these guys are right up there with the 80s Islanders, the Oilers, like those teams you talk about for decades. I hope people talk about that group in there for decades, because young hockey fans coming up and they're watching the same team parade to the final every single year. You don't do it by fluke. And these guys warriored their way to that point. Like I said, we met our match in this series. But I hope people think of this team and write about this team for years to come, for what they've gone through in the last 3 years.
Absolutely. You gotta give them props. I mean, they've been phenomenal, and they're going to be back next year. I think they have a few free agents, and, you know, the team's mostly remains intact. If you're not on board with my assessment of the Quebec Nordiques hoisting the trophy and being part of a extremist state, well, within minutes after they hoisted the Stanley Cup in Amalie Arena in Tampa, they broke it. Yeah, the weight of history in their hands. Number 16, Nicholas, this is some Canadian name, Aub Kubel, dropped the trophy while skating towards his teammates for the celebratory photo. Photos and videos of the moment were captured, and he left his mark forever on Lord Stanley. ESPN confirmed the moment later in a tweet. So, yeah, it was, I'm sure, an accident, you know, air quotes here. They didn't mean to do it, I'm sure. Yeah, wink, wink, nod, nod. But that's what you get when you let these Canadian teams come in and take that cup by proxy. There was a lot of injuries on the Tampa Bay Lightning, and you knew that was the case. I mean, there was Braden Point was out for a while. You had Belmar. He had a meniscus injury starting in the playoffs. I like hockey because they don't tell you anything, kind of, even though you want to know. With hockey, they go, it's an upper body or lower body injury, period. They don't elaborate really on anything. But after obviously they're eliminated and the season's over, then they can kind of go into it a little bit. And you probably don't know everything even then, But, yeah, Belmar had that meniscus injury that happened in the playoffs. Cirelli had a shoulder AC joint sprain that happened during the New York Rangers series, and dislocated shoulder that happened in Colorado in the Stanley Cup final. Kucherov had an MCL sprain versus Colorado. Nick Paul had a shoulder AC joint sprain that happened versus the New York Rangers, and then he had an MCL sprain versus Colorado in the final. Corey Perry had a shoulder AC joint sprain versus New York Ranger. Point had significant quad tear. That happened all the way back in the Toronto series. And he obviously, he didn't really return. He came back for a few games in it versus the New York Rangers. Sorry, I'm burped there. I'm going to leave that in. And didn't really play in the final, really. McDonough had a mangled finger from a block versus the New York Rangers. And they said, to be honest, every player on the roster had multiple contusions along the way. Everybody's expected to make a full recovery, be back, you know, stronger than ever next year. But yeah, I'm sure Colorado had that too, but I don't know if it's as extensive as what the Lightning had, but that's the breaks. I mean, that's how it goes. It's sometimes the injuries go in your favor. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes the officiating goes in your favor. Sometimes it doesn't. That's what a lot of people were complaining about in this series as well. So, you know, it just is what it is. I don't know. I'm just happy to get my life back a little bit and not having to watch a playoff game. You know, I'm a bad fan. I've said that as far as the Tampa Bay Lightning. Buccaneers, I'll watch every game. It's once a week. You're good, even in the playoffs, once a week. But you're talking 2-3 games a week with the playoffs, and you want to watch them. I mean, it's an historic moment. You're watching, you know, history unfold here, especially if they would have got that third cup. But, you know, I would have watched it anyway. When your team's in the playoffs, you got to watch, you know, and if the Rays make the playoffs, I'll watch then too. If they're on TV now, well, you know, if I wasn't working and I had a 9-to-5-er, maybe I'd put it on and check it out, you know, very often. But usually I'm working, and so I don't really watch hockey or baseball. NBA, forget it. I know the Magic had the first pick. I have no idea who it is. I asked a friend of mine who follows the sport if it's a good one, and he said yes. So I'll go with that. So good. Root the Magic on. I haven't watched basketball in many years. So I don't know. So now we can look forward to football season. We had the untimely, well, not untimely necessarily, but sad retirement of Rob Gronkowski. Maybe he'll be back, you know, halfway through the season, depending on how well they're doing. Who knows? We got that to look forward to, the Buccaneers. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com. All right, let's check in with Anna Hummel. Thank you. Anna Hummel, how are you doing?
I'm well. I'm doing just fine.
How's your diarrhea? You cleared up? You good?
Oh, yeah. No, it's over.
Oh,
it was,
good.
There was probably like a situation for like 2 weeks. You know, I mean, it was bad for a few days. And then it was just like every time I was going to the bathroom, it was like an ordeal. Like it was really painful. And then I was just like, am I ever going to poop normally again? But we're there.
Good.
We're back.
That's tremendous news.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure people were curious about it, so I wanted to make sure we got it out of the way very early. So we could move on to new content, new topics.
To new problems.
I'm still having heart palpitations from yesterday. I had an experience that I've never had before. I don't know. Are you scared of wildlife, particularly Florida wildlife, snakes, spiders, that type of stuff?
Yes.
Okay. I think it's a normal reaction. I think it's an evolutionary thing that snakes, spiders, they scare us for good reason because they kill us, you know, throughout history.
Yeah, kill you via strength or poison or venom. Yes.
I don't really have that fear. I grew up with reptiles in the house. My father was an amateur herpetologist. I had, you know, rattlesnakes in the home when I was a little kid. Well, actually, that's not completely true. My mother made him get rid of the rattlesnake when I was born. But he did have a pet rattlesnake when he was a younger man, because he is the original Florida man. Pet raccoons, you know, all sorts of assorted wildlife. Really a true lunatic sicko, my father, but he is what he is, and he taught me his ways in certain aspects. So I know about, you know, a little bit about snakes. I don't have that fear, But there is something about when you see it out of the corner of your eye. I've noticed, you know, it's spring and summer now. I've noticed a lot of, you know, little black racer snakes out in the yard. And sometimes you see them scurry away out of the corner of your eye, and your initial reaction is, oh, whoa. And then you go, oh, it's just a little stupid black racer snake, where I'm fine. I've had a problem at my home here with obviously termites, bugs, cockroaches, many things. It's very unfortunate, but that's taken care of now. I did have a thing where the door jam had this little crack in it, and lizards like to stay in there at night and just like hang out. And then when you would open the door, they'd run in your house, and then they'd die because they're stupid reptiles, and they would go hide under the fridge and then die under there. And then it would like smell sometimes, like it's a pain in the ass. It's not like dangerous lizards or nothing. It's fine.
No, but they're pests.
Pests. Yeah, it was an annoyance whenever they would get in the house. So I recently put a piece of weather stripping on that door to kind of block that entrance, and I haven't had any lizards since. So I was like, oh, good. Now, I went to the gym, not bragging, just saying. I went to the gym on Tuesday, and I came home. It's about 11:30 in the morning, and I open the door, and I look down, and there is a black racer snake wedged in that. I don't know how it got in there. I don't know how it weaseled its way into the door slot. But I looked down and went, ah, immediately. And then there's nowhere for it to go. See, now it's disturbed. It's not going to come towards me. I'm on the outside of the door. So it goes in the apartment and starts slithering around and goes into my bedroom. Right off in the cut.
No, it doesn't.
It does. Well, there's not a lot of places to go in here. You've been inside this place. It's essentially three tiny rooms.
It's a box.
It's a box, yeah.
It's a lunchbox. You live in a lunchbox.
So I'm thinking, well, I got to find this thing. This isn't a lizard where it's just going to crawl under and die. I don't want to be walking to the bathroom and, like, step on it or get bit in the middle of the night. I have to find this thing now. So I'm using my expertise as a junior Florida man, hunting it down. I find it. It's in the closet. It's doing the thing where it's got its mouth open. It's rattling its tail, trying to act like it's a predator, like a rattlesnake or something. And I'm going, okay, now what do I do here? Because I've been bit by these things. It's not that bad if you get bit, but it's scary. There's a snake in my house. So I go, I know what I'll do. I'll try to throw a shirt over it. And then when it starts, doesn't know what to do, I'll wrap it up in a shirt, take it outside, and throw it out there.
Okay.
Miserable failure. From the get-go, this is a miserable failure. Throw the shirt, it just scurries away. It doesn't even go over the snake. Then it starts to run towards my bed. And I have a few like luggage things on the floor, and it kind of gets wrapped up in there. So I just went, F it. And I just reached down and grabbed it. And like Steve Irwin, I had it like this. I had the tip of its tail, and it's trying to bite my hand, but it can't reach. So I'm going, running this thing through the house. And then as I get to the front door, I'm really close, and I drop it. I drop the snake, and then I go, I've gone too far. This is a bridge I have to cross now. So I reached down and just grabbed whatever I could of the snake and got it again, thankfully. And as I was reaching towards the front door, I'm sure it's trying to bite me. I just opened the door. Thank God Denise and Doug, my upstairs neighbors, were not walking down the staircase, because they would have got a face full of black racer snake if they were. Because I just opened it and just flung it out the front door. And it landed in the grass and scurried away. I believe the snake is unharmed. I have a little bit of pee in my underwear, but, you know, I think no worse for wear other than that.
That happened yesterday, or?
It happened Tuesday, yesterday. I still have, like, thinking PTSD. About it now, my heart is racing a little bit just thinking about this thing. I felt like a... Like, I can't call the landlord to be like, you got to come get this black racer snake out of my home. Number one, that's racist. Number two, you just, as a man, you know, almost a 40-year-old man, I have to take care of some things myself. I can't expect a landlord to do everything.
And they happen during the day and not the night.
True.
Could you imagine with like limited visibility? I mean, obviously you would have turned on the light, but still, you know.
Oh, that would, it would have been so much worse at the nighttime. But now I don't even understand how the heck it got in there. I'm amazed that it was even able to, you know, finagle. I don't know why it went in there. Maybe it just got caught in the sun and needed somewhere to go quick.
A lizard to eat. Who knows?
Maybe. We do have a lot of those around. But yeah, that was my experience with I believe this
in the summertime.
I believe this experience automatically grants me the title of captain in Florida. Florida Man Army that Captain Ron DeSantis has put on. So I believe I am an honorary, at least captain in this force that he's formed.
Which means that you're now pretty much eligible to go hunting for, I believe it's pythons. And they're giving away like a grand prize.
Yes.
To the one who gets, is it the longest one? The biggest one? Something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that did happen. I don't know if that concluded or not. There was alligator hunting that you can do as well. I've been seeing a lot of stories about alligators lately. That's one of those things that you can't believe doesn't happen more, where people aren't attacked. There was the man in Taylor Park in Largo, my former hometown park. They have a golf course there, a disc golf.
Mm-hmm.
And he went in, I guess some of those discs are like expensive. So he would go in to make extra money, go dive in there, get these discs and then resell them to people on the course. And unfortunately he got attacked by an alligator and died and got like half eaten by an alligator in there. And that's one of those things you go, I can't believe that doesn't happen more. There was a guy in South Carolina that had the same thing happen to him, died, got attacked by an alligator. So definitely on the uptick, it would seem to me, you know, as far as wildlife attacks. I saw a coyote in a neighborhood not too long ago.
Yeah. Those in mine, not recently, but I have, because I'm like, oh, that's a weird dog. Oh my god.
Yeah, it was scary. Yeah. They
well, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Thank you.
I did have an odd interaction with the woman that did my hair last week. Now I had made a somewhat of a promise to her that I was going to give her a shout out on the air. Now, it's not like she did my hair for free or anything. I want to stress that. I did go on a Groupon because I'm Jewish. And I should have just paid the money it costs to get your hair done by someone who you had it done before and you like the way they do it. But because I'm such a goddamn Jew, I decided to drive an hour. Now, I know gas is expensive, but trust me, I did the financial math. I crunched the numbers, and it was definitely in my favor to go get my hair done for $135 compared to, I don't know, $450, $500. So,
$450, $500 to get your hair done?
Probably about $400 with tip.
Oh my god, that's insane.
I mean, it's not really the cut. The cut is like $12.99, but it's the coloring and the takes time and the layering, and I have long hair. As you can see, it's very luxurious. Not that luxurious. But anyways, it was quite a disappointment. And the most disappointing thing was that I had all this content that I couldn't bring to the table, because the people that listen to the show that I'm on in the morning are trolls, and they would find this woman and they would send her clips of me saying horrendous things. So I get there, and she's a little bit larger, and that's totally fine. I really don't have a problem with people who are bigger. I have a problem with people who have disgusting teeth. So I'm like, oh, you were disguised as a normal person. I fear you may be like white trash, like really white trash, like bad, bad, bad. So like heroin addict or something. So I get in there after driving an hour, and she starts doing my hair. And, you know, we start talking and stuff. And she tells me, you know, she has all these kids because obviously she's about 25 years old. She's already got her tubes tied. You know, that's it. You know, interesting, red flag, whatever. So she starts telling me about her life, which is vastly different from mine. And she is, you know, it's kind of odd now. We're in a weird kind of society where when a woman tells you she has kids, one or more, you want to ask if the dad is involved, but like you don't know how. You'll maybe allude to it. You're like, oh, so do the kids live with you? Or like, you know, and then she'll typically tell you it's me and the kids, or me, the kids and my husband, or something. So she tells me that her husband works overnights or something. And I'm like, oh, really? What does he do as a career? And she goes, he works at Waffle House. And I'm like, of course he does.
Okay.
I work at Waffle House, which is totally fine. Because I don't have a problem with that. That's great. I'm glad you made something of yourself, whatever. Then she proceeds to tell me, it's one of those things where I was kind of working on prep on my iPad for the following day for work. And she's just blabbering on, you know, we're talking. She lives in Northport, so she's very close to the Brian Laundry family home. So we're vibing on that. I'm like, I actually knew a murderer. So we're, you know, we're talking, we're vibing. And then it's one of those things where, like, she says something and it takes a minute for your brain to process. She goes, yeah, he's from North Carolina. He walked here. And I go, I'm like doing something. I'm like, hold on a second. Did you say he walked here? What do you mean he walked here? Did he like camp on the side of the road? Did he hitchhike? Did he? And she goes, I don't know. He followed a girl here. I'm like, a girl he knew? Was she also walking? Did she know he was behind her? You know, all these sorts of things. She just like had no clue. She's been married to this guy probably since she was like 21, has no idea how he got to the state other than the fact that he allegedly walked here from North Carolina. And she told me that when they first started dating, he was living in her backyard.
Okay, this is the true American love story.
Yes,
so far.
Yes. So she's telling me more and more. And at this point, I am somewhat horrified because my hair is in, I don't know, 15 separate little foil deals. You know, I don't know if she's going to pull it out and it's going to be bright green. Like, I've really entrusted her, especially as far as women go. Like, this is my crown of glory. And this woman, I feel like I'm at the mercy of this woman who doesn't really know about, you know, her husband's whereabouts, how he even trekked to the state. Well, it's just, you try to vibe with people. I like to, when I'm sitting getting my hair done, I like to kind of look at it as like a science project, and I'll ask them questions. I'm like, oh, what does the toner do? And most of the time people can like give me an answer. I just kind of like to quiz them to see if they know their stuff. So I'm like, what does the toner do exactly? She goes, oh, it tones the hair.
Mm-hmm.
That was her answer. And I go, right. But anyways, I gave her a shout out, did all the things. Don't hate it. Don't love it.
Yeah, it looks fine. It looks fine.
That's exactly it. It looks fine, but it was 5 hours. It shouldn't look fine. It should look bomb.
Right.
But this is what I paid for. Important lesson that I got what I paid for.
Listen, there's certain things that you shouldn't skimp on in this life. Number one, toilet paper. Splurge on the more expensive toilet paper. You'll thank yourself in the long run. It's only a few dollars, you know, difference, and it's going to make your life much better. Buy yourself nice underwear. Number two, splurge on the good, what do they call that? There's a certain fabric that's mixed with the cotton that they all use now. I can't remember off the top of my head, but MeUndies, I know, is one. They're not a sponsor of this podcast, but they sponsor many podcasts. I love those. Duluth Trading Companies. There's a lot of good underwear brands out there. Even Hanes has stepped their game up a lot, because I actually bought some Hanes recently and didn't have any high hopes for them, but they're tremendous. They've really come a long way in underwear technology. And I guess we'd have to add hairdresser to that list as well. No discount surgery, no discount doctors, none of that. Really, any professional service, you're going to want to not get a coupon for. You're going to want to go ahead and pay full price.
Yeah. It's worth it, because if you're already spending like a decent chunk of money, you might as well just spend you know, a bunch more, but you get what you want, especially because you're putting in all the time and this is what my hair is going to look like for the next year. So, you know, it be what it be. It's okay.
That's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that, Anna. It looks fine. You look all right.
Thank you. Yes, you, I know. And a lot of people have even said, you got it done? I can't tell. You know, that sort of thing, which is just like, right. Yeah. And even she, this is, you know, what's bad when the hairdresser starts expressing her disappointment, you know, when she's doing the unveiling, which is not the move as a hairstylist. She is saying, oh, I thought the color was going to be different, or like, it's not as light as I wanted it to be. Are you going to be mad if it's a little bit darker? You know, that sort of thing. And I go, this is a lesson, Anna.
Listen, I just
We don't go on Groupon to get our hair done.
Yeah, you just want to live at this point. You don't want her murder her husband to come in, and you don't want to upset her. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
With a guy who walked here from North Carolina and lived in her yard.
Yeah, and she's got a pair of scissors in her hand. So you got to be nice. You got to be kind. Right. And then once you walk out the door, you just be like,
oh, well, that's too bad. Lesson learned, you know, that it's a cheap lesson to learn in the long run. And
yes, I
do kind of wish you would have fried your head so you would have been bald today. It would have been really funny if you came in with a bald cap, if you were just bald and then told that story and then ripped it off and went, ha ha, just kidding. My hair just looked normal.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a fight with a friend of mine. Not a fight. He kind of freaked out on me at watching the Lightning game. The Lightning lost the Stanley Cup. Yeah, they lost. It was a bummer. Went and watched the game with a couple friends, and it was just me and one other buddy left. And I started, as I'm wont to do, you know, joshing around a little bit. I got some Maker's Mark in me. In fact, at the beginning of the podcast, which isn't on this live stream, but it's in the podcast and on the radio. Anyway, I like to make fun of Canada. Canada is a big mark for me to pick on. I like to call them a failed terror state. I like to advocate Joe Biden to bomb them for their treason against this country and burning down the White House, the original White House. It's mostly in fun, but there's always, much like any other joke, there's always a little bit of truth in jokes. I'm no fan of Canada now. The people are great, but they're a little scary up there for my liking. So I was doing my thing with the, because the Colorado Avalanche were formerly the Quebec Nordiques. I don't know if you know that, back in the 90s, 80s, 90s. They moved down to Denver and took up the Colorado Avalanche moniker. They moved cities. So I was saying that I was calling Denver a proxy state for Quebec, and it really is part of Canada, and we should start bombing, you know, Quebec immediately tonight.
And I agree.
Thank you. It's good to get that support.
No problem.
And he got kind of, and now he was drinking all day long, so I don't know what exactly his problem was, but he took offense to this comment.
Is he Canadian?
No, he's not.
I
finally had to tell him. Now, the one rule about jokes generally is you don't say it's a joke, because that kind of ruins the joke.
And it also kills the vibe, because now he's going to get defensive and say, I know, it's just getting annoying. You know, you're ruining the mood.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So I went, dude, I'm joking. And he goes, then he started doing this thing, which it was like a bad code or something in the machine, because it just kept running back in this feedback loop. And he kept saying, I asked you if you were kidding, and you said no. Which I did say at the beginning, because it's a joke. And I went, who cares? Like, why is this bothering you so much? Who cares?
Do I know this person?
You do. And he just kept going, I asked you if it was a joke, and you said no. And he just kept saying that over and over again. And then it just got weird. The game was over. So we kind of got up from the table and started to go, and he went one way, I kind of went another way, and I ran into him at the front of the building. He was waiting for an Uber, and it was kind of, hey, what up? And he goes, I'm gonna go to this other place down near his house, it's still early. And I went, oh, okay. And kind of just, we kind of stand there. I was waiting for my Uber. Uber came. He ran to the Uber and got in it and left. Like, he didn't invite me to this place. I wouldn't have gone anyway. It was too late. But he didn't say he wanted company or anything. So he just, I guess, went to this place all alone. And then I ended up walking home from Ferg's because I couldn't get a stupid Uber.
Can I ask who this person is without saying their name?
Can you do that?
Yes.
All right, sure. Give it a crack.
Is this person, their skin color perhaps darker than khaki?
No. No.
Okay. And this person is obviously a male.
Male.
And you would consider this person to be a good friend of yours?
I would. I thought so. Now I'm not so sure.
Did you used to have a weekly supper?
Yes.
With, okay. Does this person have a pool at their house?
Yes, they both do. It's one or the other.
Right. Does this person like flying in planes?
Yes.
No further questions.
Yes, you got it. It says, guess who, Will's Friends Edition. You got it. You nailed it in record time. Yeah, so I don't know, and I really haven't talked to him since then, and I don't know. I think we just got to chalk that up to people were drinking. Oh. Yeah, he was drinking all day, and I just feel like this is one of those things that something is bothering him about me kind of a little bit, and then this kind of got brought to the surface, and he had enough to drink to make an issue out of it. But it's probably not
and
big enough.
And it was on Sunday night?
That was on Sunday night, correct.
Now, Will, I don't know if you got the news, but maybe your friend is a little upset about the whole Roe v. Wade thing.
You know,
maybe he's internalizing the pain of liberal women across this country. The ugliest, most disgusting women that exist on this planet that are so upset that have purple, blue, and yellow hair that are taking to the streets, finally getting some exercise. Maybe he's internalizing their pain.
You know, maybe. Maybe there's something to be said for that. I don't know. I can't confirm or deny that. I don't know if you do you want to talk about that? I feel like everybody is almost burnt out on it. You've probably been talking about it all week. I've been talking about it since the end of last week.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a compliment now.
Okay, good. I love
when
those.
When things like this happen, it's comforting to know that there's someone like you that's there watching it happen and you equally, like me, don't care. Like, that is real. I like the fact that you don't care and you'll never, ever really get upset about any sort of political whatever. Like, you do it, but you don't, in a sense. Like, you get upset by the reaction. You get upset by the people who are pushing an idea, but you're never upset by their idea, if that makes sense.
That's very...
You know, like, you don't care if people are left-wing or right-wing, but once they start throwing, like, Molotov cocktails at police, you're like, yeah, that's not okay. We can't do that. But even then, you're not really that mad. You're like, just don't throw it at me.
Yeah.
Just don't slip through my home like that black snake and bother me.
Yeah.
I just want to be left alone. And that's exactly how I feel about this.
Yeah.
I would say the biggest mistake they made was releasing the news on a Friday afternoon. I really think that this was Monday morning news. They could have waited a couple days and not ruined everyone's weekend. That would have been nice. But other than that, I do not care. Is that fair?
That's fair. That's fair. Okay. I think a shocking amount of people have that kind of same. A lot of people care a lot. But what I'm noticing about the people that care a lot is that a lot of the things that they're posting don't make any sense and just aren't based in reality. Now, if you were to say that to them, they would squeal at the moon like little piggies. But, you know, the thing that I keep going back to is this, they're finding out that elections had consequences. And they didn't like the last guy that was president. In fact, they look at him as a devil incarnate in many cases. So any picks that he had to the Supreme Court, how they just so happened to go, he got three. And that's the system at work. I mean, and I know people bring up, well, they didn't give Merrick Garland a hearing when that happened, when Obama was president. Yeah, well, they didn't have to. They followed the rules. It was the rules of the Senate, and they chose not to give him a hearing. And, you know, I just keep thinking, like, this is Hillary Clinton's fault. If only she would have went to Wisconsin and didn't go to Gwyneth Paltrow's house, this whole thing might turn out differently. They've put through every sort of piece of major, you know, I want to say legislature, but it's not legislature. Any piece
I'm sorry, I didn't get the connection to Gwyneth Paltrow. What is that?
Oh, there was a famous picture of her like a few days or a few weeks before election where she was at Gwyneth Paltrow's house hanging out instead of campaigning in Wisconsin.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of this activist-driven rules or laws, or I don't even know what you call it, they were pushed through the court, right? And courts can overturn decisions. And they were warned that when you put these things through the courts, it could get overturned.
And because it wasn't in the Constitution. People keep referring to abortion as if it's a constitutional right, but it was never in the Constitution. It was just a federal law. Much like you said, federal laws can be overturned.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of people are calling this people in government, AOC, chanting that... you know, this decision is illegitimate, which is funny because that was really the battle cry of the pro-Trumpers, the MAGA movement, calling the election, you know, illegitimate. That's what they said. Now, whether it was or not, okay, but now because you don't like a decision doesn't mean it's illegitimate. It just means you didn't like the decision.
Well, that's...
So let's make it very clear about... You know, what's going on?
This is what drives me nuts about democracy and everybody standing up for democracy. They love democracy until it does something they don't like. And then they go, no, I don't like this. This is not right. And it's screw this. I'm not doing it. Yeah. Okay. I mean, finally, we're getting, I'm with you. But, you know, you can't go around and also claim to be the people of democracy when you things, you know, don't go your own way. Right. Then
sometimes
you're
mad. You lose. Sorry.
Elections have consequences. Yeah. And
many. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, you're right. You brought up the constitutional right. I heard it called a right. And that's one of the things where my little bit of being on the spectrum or something kicks in, because I go, it's not really a right, though. I mean, like, I don't care how you feel. I don't care how I feel.
No,
either,
you're talking
for
about on the books.
Yeah, I'm talking.
It's not a constitutional right. On the book.
In the document. It's not there. Yeah. Now, you could add it if you did it through the legislature. You could add an amendment to the Constitution. The Constitution's a living document. It could have been codified for years and years, and they didn't bother to do it for whatever reason.
Well,
I don't know why.
It's very hard to get an amendment passed through. There's only 27. And I did look this up because we think similarly. I'm like, well, why didn't they do that at the start? That would kind of solidify it. And the only way to redact an amendment is to add another amendment, redacting the one before it. But I did notice that the last amendment that was passed, the 27th Amendment, took 202 years to get ratified. I think it was proposed in 1789 and it finally got ratified in 1992. So I'm like, oh, okay, so this stuff sometimes takes a minute. So in order, you know, I think this is kind of another way of doing it is you're letting it pass in the Supreme Court versus trying to get like 2/3 of every state of, you know, Senate and all that sort of stuff. It wouldn't go through in order for it to be, you know, officially part of the Constitution.
It's my understanding, though, that the Democrats had a supermajority from like 2009 to 2011, where it could have easily been put through, signed.
Yeah,
Barack Obama could have signed it.
2011. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I guess it wasn't, we weren't worried about it then. That was maybe Obama era, right? So people weren't thinking too far into the future about, you know, Trump or, you know, Republicans overturning Roe v. Wade. I wish I cared more. Like, I almost feel bad about not caring enough, because I mean, this is kind of like my demo, right? Like, I'm pretty sure I'm somewhat fertile and I'm a woman, like a real one with a womb. So, you know, you
don't get us kicked off YouTube now with your hate speech.
I know. Now you need to demonetize. My bad. Well, you know what I mean. But it is funny that now people are saying women's rights, women's rights. And it seems like they're being very clear about the fact that it's biological women. So I felt like it's not the time to touch that subject now. I mean, we just had Pride and all that sort of stuff. But it is funny when you hear all these people talking about, you know, women's rights, making it very clear they're talking about biological women. But that's fine. Whatever. But I feel like I should care more. But I also am a creature of logic, right? You know, it's not that abortion is getting abolished. It's that it's now going back to the states, which I'm more of a fan of things being as localized as possible to kind of reflect the people that live in that state and kind of giving you the option of, hey, if you don't like the way we do things around here, you can move. You can leave if you don't like the politics of a particular state. So I don't know. I just wish I cared more because I feel like I should, and I almost feel guilty that I don't. But I'm really excited to see all of the people that are very upset. You've sent me a few clips of people, you know, just losing their ish, which I enjoy. That's the best part of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, is the reaction of the left.
Yeah. I mean, I feel similarly to you in that. And again, it's just, you know, it's pretty clear here. To me, there's not really any nuance. It's just it's the system at work. They just don't like the result of it. And I don't even think it matters how we feel about it personally. Like, I'm not even making a stance on it, but it's going back to the states. It's democracy in action. Some states are going to ban it. Some aren't. Companies are stepping up to the plate saying that they'll go and pay for your travel costs if you get pregnant. They won't pay for maternity leave for you, more maternity leave, but they'll gladly pay these companies for you to abort your child. Oh,
well,
God.
That's less time off, you know what
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
They're like, well, geez, I don't want to take 6 months off, but we can pay for 3-day vacay.
Right.
You know, to Illinois.
Yeah.
Can I ask, to make it more inflammatory than it already is, forget about the rules and states, how does Will Koontz feel about abortion?
Oh, God. You know, me personally, I kind of like Louis C.K.'s take on it. He had a bit from one of his comedy specials where he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, obviously, essentially that I'm pro-choice. I believe a woman should be able to do what she wants with her body, but also you're totally murdering a baby. That's kind of where I fit in the whole thing. I think most Americans do believe there should be some sort of line drawn in the sand there. I don't know where that is, but that's why I kind of like this kicking it back to the state so it can be talked about in open discourse and they can kind of figure this stuff out rather than being mandated that you have to offer this service federally. So, you know, I don't know. It went from, to me, the thing that's bizarre is that it went from the argument was safe, legal, and rare to after the baby's out, you can kill it if you want. Like the famous Ralph Northam clip from 6 months ago, Yeah, that Alex Jones brought up. And then 2 weeks later, Ralph Northam went on and said this on an NPR station where, oh, if a mother decides she doesn't want to make the baby comfortable and we'll talk to doctors and figure out what to do from there. You go, I think most people go, no, I'm not with that. And if the extreme is where you're going to like rest your flag and say, this is what we want, then I think most people are going to go, no, I don't think so. So I don't know. I don't know, man. It's that's kind of how I feel. I agree with Louis C.K. on the whole thing. But I think also they need to come to terms with you're going to kill a living thing at some point. So probably at the very beginning of conception. And you shouldn't be
probably
able to.
Probably not, because a lot of women don't know they're pregnant for, you know, sometimes a couple months. So, I mean, they got like organs and stuff. I mean, they're not viable outside of the womb, but oftentimes, unless you take Plan B or have a miscarriage, A lot of times people don't know they're pregnant until 6, 7, 8 weeks in, maybe more if they're really fat. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know there's a lot of nuance here within this subject, but I think at the very end of the day, when you kind of, like, where do you think life starts? I kind of more inclined. What's that?
Inception.
Okay. Cause that's what I think too. That seems to make the most sense.
And I'm pro-death. Like, I don't even say I'm pro-life. I'm like, I'm pro-death. Like, let's get rid of these babies. It's immoral, for sure. Like, I don't even, there's no qualms about it. Like, it's murder, 100%. But also, who cares, right? That's how I feel about it. And if we're going to play the game of, like, what's best for society, which I'm really not into this, like, whole group selection kind of thing, because individual acts are individual acts. They should be judged as such. It shouldn't be like, well, genocides are good for the global population because it keeps it under control, you know, population control. Like, I'm not Bill Gates or anything, but abortions are really good for everybody wins but the fetus. Everybody wins but the fetus. You don't mess up the mom's life. I mean, her life's probably already messed up, but let's pretend it's not. So, you know, she can resume back to whatever she was doing, being a whore, not being a whore, getting raped by her dad, whatever the case may be, you know. And then you got, like, you know, maybe she just has – she already has a bunch of kids she can't take care of anymore. Maybe she was – you know, and I especially feel bad for people that, you know, they were on contraception. You know, they tried and it failed for whatever reason. It's not foolproof. You know, things happen. The guy had a vasectomy, like, whatever the case may be. I feel bad for people that were actually trying to prevent a pregnancy and it happened anyways. And it's a difficult discussion. I definitely see both sides. I think everyone is, I feel like the left doesn't understand where the right or the evangelical movement is coming from. They really think it's an infringement of women's rights. They're like, why do you hate women? And a lot of them are like, we're also women. And they're like, but you hate women's rights. And they're like, but we're for human rights, including the fetus. They're like, but you hate women. I'm like, is anybody listening to the other side? Like, they don't think it's a woman's right. They're trying to save a life. Do you understand? Can you have some compassion for them that they care more about your dumb fetus than you do? You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's one of those things that, again, that drives me nuts, is they just don't understand. Like, the art of war, one of the rules is know your enemy. So you have to know where the enemy stands so you can know how to create arguments to kind of defeat them. And I don't know if it's that they don't know or they just, it seems like a lot of this stuff just goes back to, like, the simplest, like, oh, you hate women. You hate minorities, you're a bigot, you know. It's just like, no, I have rationale here. You just don't like it and you think it's wrong, which is fine. Like, that's fine, you can think it's wrong, but unfortunately about half the country feels this way, so you got to figure out something to do with that. That's why I advocate for just, maybe it's time everybody goes their own way here, because this is not going to work. And I don't see anybody really changing anybody else's mind, because I saw a clip from Patrice O'Neill, rest in peace, where he was talking about this issue, and he called, he said that it's not a woman's body or an apartment once you become fertilized, that you're an apartment for a baby until it comes out. I thought that was a pretty good pro-life position that's really easy to understand, but also people will just fight it. Like, they just disregard it. And you go, well, there's validity to that, whether you want to believe it or not, no matter how you feel about it.
You can't just poison the tenants just because you're the landlord. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Well, it's my house. Yeah, but people are living in there. You can't just use sarin gas on them at your will, you know?
Yeah, squatter's rights.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's a tough thing. It's very nuanced. I honestly, I kind of feel like it's a good thing, just because it's going to go, the democracy will come into action. I'm not a big democracy guy anymore, but at least these states can kind of decide if they want to do it, as opposed to a federal court saying you have to have this thing. When people are going, it's murder, and I don't like it, and I don't want people to murder these unborn children. And even though I know that, again, I know people are pulling their hair out, but it's like, that's how they feel. And there is validity to it, whether you believe it or not. I get if you don't, if you're not into that argument, but you have to at least understand where these people are coming from. And but they just don't want to do that. They just would rather go back to, like you said, oh, you just don't want women's rights. Well, about, I think I looked it up last year, and it was like 44% of women were pro-life. Now it's something like 38. It's in the 30s now. But about a third of women are pro-life. So
yeah,
that's a big chunk. That's a lot of people. So, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's better just let the states decide. And if you live in a red state and you don't, you know, in the Midwest somewhere, then move to Illinois and you're good. That's
yeah.
easy. Or drive over to Illinois and you're good. I think it's a good compromise at the very least.
Yeah. I would say this is the only issue that I have cognitive dissonance over, in the sense that what I know and believe is morally permissible is not what I would do if I was in the situation where I needed to, you know, use the facilities. So essentially I'm saying, I think abortion is wrong. Just if we're looking at a purely biomedical ethics point of view, this has nothing to do with God, you know, I'm an atheist. But if we're just looking on the books, like, you know, what's immoral, what's moral, I would say this probably is under the category of, you know, unethical, immoral, not right. But in the event that I got pregnant tomorrow, I would be, you know, skipping on my way to the abortion clinic to get rid of it. Because I also don't care. So
I think we found the title of the episode. I don't care. I think that's a good one. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com, hmbradio.com/store. If you'd like a hoodie or a shirt, a few more weeks left on that. Or if you just want to show some love and donate, you can go to hmbradio.com/donate. All very much appreciated. Weird transition, but it's a weird time. Weird subject matter, and I don't know where to go from here. And with that, I'll say goodbye to you. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you listen on podcasts, thank you. Please do tell a friend about it. Share it on your social media. Give it 5 stars wherever you're listening. And I thank you. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.